we worship you. There are no words to describe. We just worship you. What a privilege to know you. Oh, Father, there is no God like you. Oh, Lord. We worship you, omnipotent God, yet you dwell in our hearts. You're the God that knows the end from the beginning, but you never stop believing. We worship you. You have all power, and yet you're submitted to your word. I don't understand you, Lord. You're so different. We worship you. We stand apart. Thank you for the privilege to know you. It's a great privilege. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for our spiritual parents, the watchmen over this house, whom you have used to draw us closer unto you. We worship you. We give you your place in our midst. Fill this place, awesome God. Fill our hearts with your life, with your presence, with your power. Let us be changed from one level of glory to another. Remove the things that offend. Transform us to a higher level of love, that we will know who you really are. And we will never live the way we've lived before. So go to your word. I strip myself. I recognize that I can do nothing. Lord, I just lean on the entirety of your mercy. Anoint my heart. Anoint my lips. Use my mind. Organize the thoughts. Let the inspiration of the Almighty flow from the inside, from your throne. And let it cause your word to come forth like a stream of living water, bringing life, bringing light. Let it be simple, and yet let it be powerful enough to break yokes, to set men free, free to love you, free to obey you, free to follow you. And Lord God, in our lives, you will see the travail of your soul, and indeed you will be satisfied. So come to pray, Lord. I ask that an eternal work be done. I pray, O Lord, that as your word goes forth out of me, help me to be concise, help me to be precise, help me to say only the things you want me to say. Help me, Lord, as I do this, Lord, to bring you glory, that the glory will go only to you. And Lord, it will be a blessing to my spiritual parents and to every single one under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. Holy Spirit, I need you, Lord. Thank you for your help. Worship and honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father, Pastor, we thank you all for your support. Today, God has put a word in my heart. And I think that He's gone ahead of me to prepare our hearts for this word. It's titled, Following the Lamb and Not the Crowd. Following the Lamb and Not the Crowd. And I start from Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, King James Version. And I looked, And lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. And with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the 24 elders. And no man could learn the song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. This has multiple interpretations. It speaks of Israel as 144,000 that are redeemed from among Israel. Literal 144,000 actual people with Jesus. It also speaks spiritually of a company, a spiritual company of mature sons in Zion. Zion is the church. And he's talking here. So when he says upon Mount Zion, Mount Zion is a physical location, but in this context, Mount Zion is a family of people. It's a company of God men. Men who are no longer men. They now are gods. And your name is there. Don't let them tell you anything. Your name is right here. Amen. And you should settle for nothing less. Because that's what Jesus paid for. And it cost them a lot. And the Bible says here that they were redeemed from the earth. They've escaped the corruption that is in the world. They no longer have corruption. The priest of this world cometh and he finds nothing in them. That's your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And he says they were not defiled women. When he says they're not defiled women, there is speaking figuratively as well, where it says that they're not defiled with the spirit of Babylon. Okay? So these are a pure seed, a Nathaniel generation without guile. And they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So this company have fully perfected the divine nature within them. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, talks about your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body. Pastor Wei was preaching from that this morning. I said, wow, Pastor Wei has already preaching the message. Okay? And when you get born again, you only have your tiptoe in the kingdom. The fullness of the kingdom is when your soul and your body follow your spirit. And then when they say that you have entered into the kingdom, is the total dominion of the king that sits upon the throne over your will, mind, emotions, and body. And you gladly give it to him. Because you've gone through a journey with him. This company have the character of God. That's why it says they have the name of the Father written in their forehead. That name there is character. It's the character of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. They think like God. They no longer think like men. They see the way God sees. They sit upon the mercy seat. And many times you don't understand them at all. Because they are God. They're not man. When you think they should be angry,
they're not angry.
And when you think that everything is fine, their eyes are like a flame of fire. You and me have to learn to adjust. This is walking with God now. So, and they follow the lamb wherever he goes. So now this implies that their love for the lamb surpasses their love for everything else and everyone else. Incidentally, everyone else and everything else. So God is number one and only. And then through God, they love you. So it's not that they don't love you, but everything is now through God. They do nothing apart from God. Jesus Christ said, I can of my own self do nothing. I can only do what the Father, what I see the Father do. So when he sees the widow of Nain with her only son, he touches the bear. Says, son, arise. When he sees the woman who is about to be stoned, you without sin, cast the first stone. He doesn't know those people personally. He's cleaved to God. He and God are now inseparable. And so when he thinks, God is thinking. When he talks, God is talking. It's hard for men to understand that God can give such authority to men. But wake up. This is the time. Amen. This is the generation. Amen. And I dare say I'm looking at the gods. Amen. So this is a word of encouragement today, this morning. To love God more than anything else. You know, and our love for God grows. When you get born again, I get born again. It's all about me. Me, me, me. God do this for me. God do that for me. And guess what? God obliges. He'll do it for you. Do that for you. And do that for you. And it's all well and good. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 16. Song of Solomon is a love story. And it's one that we've heard the fathers of the house, Papa Ralph, and the fathers of the house preach from. Says my let's read it together. My beloved is, and I am. Who's first? Mine. My beloved is mine. That's the first thing. That's all I can think about. If mine is not satisfied, I really can't think about his. It must be mine first, then his second. That's spiritual babyhood. Demanding and self-absorbed. Me. Me. Cry. Poo-poo. Cry. Food. Cry. Just hold me. 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 And God does it. Mothers do it. And fathers too do it. Come on. It's not only the mothers that do it. So that we have to do all the important things, so we don't do it as often, but we still do it. Alright? And when we do it, we feel very cool that we can do it. Okay? So we change the nappies when you have the time. Alright? But that's babyhood. You do it. And God accommodates it. But then God expects us to grow. Once, remember, it's a love relationship. And it's not all about you. It's also about the other person. And that person here is God. And that love must transform into a sincere love. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 3. Come with me. Let's read it together. 3 verses 2 to 6. Let's read it together. I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek whom my soul. I sought him, but I found him not. Next verse. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Next verse. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Next verse. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Next verse. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchants? Wow, this is prophetic. But it's talking about that love relationship. And it's a sincere love that begins to see God through the word. Amen. And that brings us into revelation knowledge. And an awareness of who God is. And then we begin to place a premium on God. You begin to put a price on God. God begins to become important to you. Because now you begin to appreciate him differently from the way you did before. And, you know, as you continue in that, you see that God begins to reveal his glory. Pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. Talks about intercession. Talks about self-denial. God begins to teach you by revelation. Little by little, taking you away. It's milk, but it's weaning you. Like a child that was weaned. The book of Proverbs, okay? He's weaning you. And that's the state of a little child. Remember Peter? When Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? That spiritual little childhood. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. Amen? And then that grows into a tender and sensitive love that allows us to wait on him. Now he begins to assume more preeminence. He begins to call the shots. And God now begins to teach you discipline. He now becomes a priority. A priority. Not the priority. So God begins to be important. So, certain times, when God gets across to you, you step back. You let him have his way. Because now you're beginning to love him. It speaks of spiritual young manhood. And in Philippians 3, 9 to 10, we don't have time to turn there, but they'll put it up, I'm sure. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He now begins to take you deeper. Know who No, pastor often says, I don't know whether you recognize it. We know who you really are. Have you heard that? He said, we know who you really are. You know, and I just latch onto that. And truly, when you begin to see a little bit of who God is, you behave yourself. You behave yourself. God is awesome. He will do everything. And take the back seat and give you the glory. And then you too, you will take it. God, you need to understand. The more I understand, wow, you're so different from everything else. That's God. It's a love relationship. Spiritual young manhood. God is a priority. And begins to demand discipline. And then, finally, that love goes into a mature love where God is the priority. Him alone. Our bowels then are fully open. Fully open to him. And that's why we can follow him everywhere he goes. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 7, verse 10 to 13. Song of Solomon 7.
I am my.
Let's read it together with me. I am my. And his desire is towards me. Who is first? Beloved. Who is second? Me. But you know, in that second place, I am content. Everything is taken care of. Because when he is ahead, I understand that me is in him. So there's no need to have me separate again. Security. Security of love. No more agitation. No more supposing. Supposing, beloved will take care of it. If, beloved will take care of it. What of, beloved will take care of it. You have peace that passes all understanding. That's the only way you can do a wedding for your daughter. And on the day of the wedding, there is no MC. And you come out smiling and pray for your daughter and encourage everybody. And you know that there is no MC for the wedding. And you are in the church and there is no MC for the wedding. I can't do it, though. Let's say the truth. Yet. But I will do it. In Jesus' name. Brethren, that one is faith. Rock solid faith. That means that anytime mommy thought about that, God was answering on the inside. Chill. I'm taking care of it. Fine. So she won't think about it again. And lo and behold, when we got to the reception, the MC appeared. The person that said she wasn't able to make it. God. When beloved is number one and is in control, there's no shaking. Next verse. So I am my beloved and I'm his desire towards me. Come, my beloved, let us. Let who?
Us.
Let who?
Us.
Go forth into the field. Let who?
Us.
Lodge in the villages. Next verse. Let who?
Us.
Get up early to the vineyard. Let who? See if the vine flourish, whether the tender grapes appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There I will give thee my loves. Verse 13. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. I have laid up for thee, my beloved. God has laid up an inheritance for us. And that inheritance is in the character of God. Being written in our foreheads. Everything you and I want is at the deep end of the pool. And God is just giving us enough to remember that he's not a man that he should lie. Now that's not a man that he should repent. And if you stay with it and get to the deep end, then you get good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But you are not seeking him for the good measure pressed down. You are seeking him for himself. Very important. Look at John chapter 6, verse 26 and 27. Jesus answered them, let's read together. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Next verse. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, natural things, and physical things, material things, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So God the Father sealed Jesus and made him a repository of life. If you believe in him, you get life. Amen. And you have life more abundantly. And as you now have life more abundantly, you also can point others to believe on him. Amen. So it's now a chain of life that begins to flow. But it's the motive that is the key. These guys are not here for what they're going to get, even though Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 14 applies to them. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, but it's not that. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, that's what he says. Okay? He says, stop toiling and doing that. Yes, stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes. Don't get so caught up with your physical life. Create time for God. There is no excuse. You cannot say you don't have time. We have to create time for God. And let everything else revolve around God. Rather than God be shocking. You shock God in this one. And you shock God there. Do you know who you're dealing with? God. That has your breath in his hand. God. That knows what's going to happen to you just down the road. God. We need to change our orientation, our mindset, and start giving God his place. Jesus is not going to rest until you come into spiritual fatherhood. It's the consistent exercise of obeying him and following him that takes you into fatherhood. And in fatherhood, you know his will. It's not something you believe anymore. You know. That's why John says, we know. We know that whoever believes on the Son has passed from death to life. We know. It's not believing anymore. Knowing. So it means that the fathers have experienced it. Christianity is a journey that we must experience. It's not a head of numbers. It's not how many scriptures you know. It's the experience of the word. So the word becomes flesh. You go through it. And you know, when I remember fatherhood, it reminds me about Paul. You know, a prophet came and said, they tied Paul's hands and said, thus are they going to do for the man. That's a man that loves God. That this is how they're going to tie the man that's going to get to Jerusalem. And all the brethren were begging him. And was saying, were crying out, Paul, please don't go. They're going to kill you. Please don't go. Said, what meaneth you to cry and to weep? I am ready to die and to be offered. If that's what he wants. He's not thinking like a man. 144,000. Stop thinking like a man. A level of love, consecration, and dedication. And you can do it. Amen. Just a question of fact that we have to grow. We have to grow quickly. We have to grow. You can grow to that place. And that's where God wants to get to. He got to a point where everywhere, every step along the way, brethren were attending. When he got to Ephesus, they were begging him again. He said, stop all this nonsense. I am going, and I'm commend you unto the word of grace that will build you up and give you an inheritance. And I know that you know, some people are going to come in unawares. You need to maintain the word that I give you. Very important. Okay? What are we saying? We are saying that we must love God until we cleave to him. What does it mean to cleave? Cleave has two meanings. You can take an axe and cleave a piece of wood and it divides into two. That's cleave. Then there's another cleave, which means to stick or hold together and resist separation. So when two things have cleaved together, you actually cannot separate them without destroying them both. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20. Mommy, share the scripture with us. I'm going to read it again. Let's read it together. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest, cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That land is the land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. It's the land where the name of God is written in your own forehead, where your character becomes His own character. But see what takes you there is loving the Lord your God and obeying His voice, and then you cleave to Him. So there are levels of love. When a man and a woman are scoping each other, we call it scoping. And when they are scoping each other, they are, you know, they are on the way. You know what I mean? They are, it's not supposed to be scoping. It's supposed to be scoping in the spirit. Then when you have scoped in the spirit and have seen, then you go to oversight and say, I have been scoping. Spiritually, with the eyes of the spirit, then they will scope for you, with you. It's a divine scope, so that wherever the direction of your scope has been moving tangentially, they will correct the direction. Then they will align. Then they will come back and tell you that indeed you have scoped correctly.
Amen.
Amen. All right, and then when you now scope correctly, you know, then you now say, okay, fine, you can go ahead and all that, all that, and then you start having a relationship, and then you love each other. It's an affinity, a mental love. Okay, it's emotional, not mental. It's emotional. All right, and mental, you have compatibility at different levels. The most important is spiritual compatibility, but you have compatibility mentally, you have compatibility socially, and all that. And then you begin to have a relationship, and you know, you begin to become close. But it's not this kind of love. When you get married, it gets to another level. Am I saying the truth? Better than I'm married. It's a different level of love. Some things you never saw before, that you never knew existed, you will see live and direct. That's why it's good to be sure of what you scoped. So when you see it live and direct, you will say, ah, forward ever, backward never. Ah, you will just shut the door. Wait, everyone knew, I'm going forward. I have decided. Amen. And as you go forward, you will overcome those things.
Amen.
10 years from that time, you will love the person more.
Amen.
But it's still not this kind of 30 years later, like Baba Afi and Mama Afi.
Amen.
It's different. It's not giz-giz love. It's not somebody said something said. Don't worry, I know him. The one that where one party is in Lagos, another one is in New York, and you're on the same wavelength. That's love. Cleave. No longer in the two separate individuals. Two have become one in God. Amen. So that's what God wants us. I'm just giving that as an example. We're supposed to cleave to God. Your will, your mind, your emotions cleave to God. It's very important. Okay? And like Ruth cleave to Naomi, that's what Ruth did. She cleaved to Naomi. Now I want to say this. The watchmen were important. They were in fact critical in the saint here being able to find the beloved. It was after she met the watchman that very soon after she saw the beloved.
Yes,
the watchmen know the beloved.
Yeah.
They were there before you. They know his present location. Guess what? They're always with him.
Amen.
They know where he is. So they are the ones that will help you and point you out and say, no, this is what you do. This is what you do. And when you follow it, you get there. It's very important. So watchmen are important. They are spiritual fathers who already know the Lamb. They have the character of the Lamb. They have the desire of the Lamb uppermost in their heart. The interest of the Lamb is paramount to them. Amen? And that is why you need them to be able to cleave to the Lord. So you must cleave to the watchmen and then through them you cleave to God. You can't cleave to God direct. I know you love God, but you don't know God from Adam. And God has to explain himself to you in stages. And it is the things that they share with you and the lifestyle they live before us that enables you to have an inkling into who God is. When they have dealt with you and taken you apart, and you go crying to God, God will say they are correct. Ah, how can you say that? How will that be true? How can you agree with them? I can remember one time when I was young spiritually. I reported Jesus to the Holy Spirit. I can't remember what it was again. But no, God really made me, I felt bad and dejected. I said, can you imagine what Jesus said to me? He didn't laugh, oh, not in my hearing, yeah. I mean, but that's pure childhood, you know. You can't, as a child, you can't. Eli was backsliding, but it took Eli to tell Samuel how to hear God's voice. Look at Ruth and Naomi. Ruth chapter 1, verse 10. Quick. Ruth 1, 10. Naomi is here telling them that, guys, you need to go back. I want to go back to the land of Israel. And my sons are gone. I really feel bad that I brought you into this, that you're in this. But God has left me empty. You guys go back. So that's where we are. And they said, "Only we will return with thee unto thy people." Next verse. And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they will be your husbands?" Next verse. "Turn again, my daughters." Twice. To his witness. Okay. "Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons." Next verse. "Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Next verse. "And they lifted up their voice and wept again." They wept before, they wept again. "And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleave. And then, next verse. Naomi says, "You don't really understand." And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Verse 16. And then Ruth answered. And that answer has been documented for generations to come. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thou people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." Next verse. "Where thou diest will I..." She's counted the cost too. It's not just empty words. "And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part me and thee." Verse 18. When Naomi saw that she was steadfast in the manner to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. How did Ruth get here? The word. The few things about the word, about God, that Naomi had told her, her husband had told her, her father-in-law when he was alive had told her. Those little things, she was doing them. Orpah wasn't doing them. So Ruth developed a relationship with the God of Israel. Moabites with the God of Israel. So by the time it became this issue of, you know, God doesn't allow us to be tempted of what we are able to bear. But with the temptation, He'll make a way of escape. When do you take heed to the word that God sends to you? It prepares you for the test that come ahead. She didn't know that this was going to happen. But when it came, the word on the inside rose up and said, "Forget it. I'm not going anywhere. This God is our God. You are my mother. Even though her husband was dead and she had no natural reason to follow, she stopped thinking naturally. No longer natural thinking. She followed her mother-in-law. And she through her entered into her destiny. It's very important. So that's what it means to cleave. And today we see so many of God's people following the crowd. We have the same standards as the crowd. We suppress the truth. Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. We suppress the truth. We say something and he has three parts. We say two and leave one. It's only me, Abby. Hello. All right, we have double standards. Like others do. We judge physical, intellectual, and material blessing as the evidence of God's approval. If you pass the exam, then God was with you. If you didn't pass the exam, God was not with you. Who said? Moses struck the rock. Water came out. Who said? But that's that thinking. That's that thinking. Who said? You got the contract. And they paid the money. Like they promised. So it must be God. Who said? The sister said yes. Okay, it's not fair. Go on, Pastor. The sister said yes. So it must be God. Who said? Better be careful. It's very important that we understand this. The cleaving is first to God. If you don't cleave to God as an individual, you cannot cleave to somebody else. You don't have what it takes. The human nature in itself is satanic. It is independent. It will not join to anybody else. It's all about I. And me. Yeah, you can disguise it and you can palliate it and all that. But it will, when you have locked the door, it will show up. It will raise his head. What will you do? That's why it's good to listen and to hearken and to take heed to the word. It's very important that we do these things. Amen. So really, we do all these things. We boast about possessions. We go back on our word. We can't control our emotions. This is what the crowd is doing. And we say, we are not perfect. Nobody is perfect. That's our cop out. Nobody is perfect. Instead of putting pressure on ourselves to go higher, to go deeper, to stop thinking and talking and acting like men, and start reflecting God to our generation. Amen. But we settle for Zohar. And so this is important. It's important to understand this, that you know that this is the crowd, and it's so easy to follow the crowd. There are many. And everybody's happy and jolly. And you know, we used to have this thing when we were young, when we got born again. Now when we get to hell, there'll be so many there. You know, all of us friends, there will be so many there. I'm not going there. You know, there will be so many there that will be busy high fives and cracking jokes that even God will be tired. And he will just switch off the fire in hell and convert it. Foolish. It's worldly thinking. It's the crowd thinking. I will just enjoy myself the last minute. Just for I'll just get born again. Fine boy, I did it for him. You don't know who you're dealing with. Amen. So it's important to understand. That's the world's mentality. Amen. And I also want to say this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. I want to say this because, you know, this thing applies unto us as individuals. It applies unto us, Lord, when it comes to our homes. It's really very important. Ephesians 5. It'll be 20 something. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined. Thank you. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto them, and they two shall be one flesh. But the Bible says that he that has believed on the Lord is one with him. So the joining he's talking about here is at different levels. He's talking about joint physical, as a consummation of the marriage, physical. He's also talking about a spiritual joining, a cleaving spiritually that cannot occur if you have not first cleaved to God. The degree to which you cleave to God is the degree to which you can cleave to somebody else. And God now acts as the glue. It's very important. And that's why, you know, husbands and wives, you need to give time to God. Otherwise, the quality of a relationship will go down. Because the relationship has its fullest, its highest in God. It's like wine. In the world, the wine gets worse with time. In God, it gets better with time. But that's if it's vintage wine. Thank you. But that's if it's God-oriented. So we need to step up and, you know, like we're looking at as we go on, you know, do the things that we need to do to sort of improve the quality of our relationship in God. And even if one person is the one that is believing, the Bible says that by your conduct you can win without saying a word. It's God. Love. It's that same principle. Okay, all right. Now let's look at Luke 2 and look at Jesus, where they went to the temple. Let's just look at Luke 2 verse 40 firstly, and then we'll go down. It says, and the child grew, let's read together, and the child grew and waxed strong in, filled with, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. So we see that. Now this is the setting. Jump to verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey and sought him amongst their kinfolk and acquaintance, amongst the crowd. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, or knew ye not, that I must be about my father's business? 12-year-old. 12-year-old. This is natural. This is divine. It's godly thinking. Okay? And you see here that because Jesus had grown spiritually strong, verse 40, and was submitted to godly wisdom. There was wisdom that he was receiving that wasn't coming from his five physical senses. So he was receiving information from spiritual senses, and that is the way our lives are supposed to be. We're supposed to be receiving information not just from the five physical senses, but also from God. Amen. And he was walking in divine love, because he says that, and the grace of God was upon him. That grace there is life. Zoe. Life, if just for the purpose of establishing this foundation, life is the substance inside God that makes God God. The Bible says, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given unto the Son to have life in himself. The Bible says, I am come that they might have life and have it more. But so life is not living, it's not an experience, it's a substance. Life is a substance, not an experience, primarily. It produces godliness, but it is a substance. And that substance is what Jesus, as the firstborn of a new race of people that had their spirits open to God, You know, in the Old Testament, God worked from the outside because the spirits were dead. So God worked from the outside. But in the New Testament, Jesus being the first fruits, even though it was under the old, he was working through his spirit on the inside. So that is how Jesus was able to walk in that wisdom, practice divine love. So he was being led by the Spirit. And he simply assumed that his parents would know it. Because why come you are seeking me? So it meant that Jesus had outgrown his parents. He had outgrown his natural parents. Because he was doing things that they didn't even understand. And it was like, but you should have known where I was. I mean, did you hear? You must have heard what I heard. You must have seen what I saw. So you must have known where I was. The difference is they didn't. So what does this tell us? It tells that it's not about time. It's not about how often they've been going to the sacrifice all these years. All these years. He's just gone for... We have this as the first record of his having been gone there. Well, we know he was dedicated in the temple. But maybe he'd be going. But by now you can see how the knowledge of God had accumulated. Because he had opened himself up and allowed God to be able to do what God wanted to do through him. How did Jesus do this? How did Jesus, you know, get to this point where God was able to talk to him and he was being led by the Spirit, you know, and not following the crowd? Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. And this is the punchline. This is the how. Okay? How to follow the Lamb. Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 11. Says, my son. Verse 1. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding. Next verse. If thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as he treasures, verse 5, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and shalt find the knowledge of God. Next verse. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Verse 7. For the Lord layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Next verse. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Next verse. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Next verse. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. So God has already given you everything you need. So by the time the evil man is coming, you should be cocooned. Amen. And there are three things I want to bring out there. If thou wilt, verse 1. If thou criest, and if thou seekest. If thou wilt, if thou criest, if thou seekest. Number one, if thou will, submitting to the whole counsel of God. We must submit to apostolic and prophetic word coming out from the church. Without it, you have no foundation. And you will be tossed to and fro. You don't have any choice about that. You will be tossed to and fro. That's why God set some in the church. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. For the what? Perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That we be henceforth no more children. That word grows you up. So you can't pick and choose. I don't like this one. I believe this. I don't believe that. You don't have that liberty. You have to submit to the whole counsel of God. Amen. Very important. That's if thou will. If you submit to that counsel, it will establish you. That's what the Bible is telling us here. It will establish you. you have wisdom. My Bible says, by wisdom a house is built. By understanding it is established. By knowledge it is filled with all pleasant and precious riches. You will be grounded as a Christian. Amen. Alright, and 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us very clearly that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, amen, for correction and for instruction in righteousness, next verse, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So really, the word is equipment. Is equipment, multifaceted equipment, is a sharp sword that will separate godly counsel from sensual counsel. Is a soap that will wash away sin from your heart. The word of God is a light that will enlighten your path. The word of God is a balm that will bring refreshing to your mind. The same word of God. So we must take heed to the word and submit to it. Bible says that if any man will do his will, you must be willing to do his will. If he revealed it to me, I must do it. I must do it. Bible says if any man is willing to do his will, he will know. And that's where revelation comes from. There must be a willingness. If you're dilly-dallying, if you're being double-minded, you're unstable. And you're not going to get anything. So you need to set that will. So that's number one. If thou wilt. The next one. If thou criest after knowledge. Okay. Now crying there is figurative. Bible talks about strong crying and tears. It's prayer. So it's talking about praying in the spirit. Particularly travail. But you have praise, you have travail, you have tongues. But it's talking particularly about travail. You need to travail because you break up levels of sin residue that are fallow ground, thank you, in your heart. You break it up and then you begin to touch God inside. God is in your spirit. But you are working on the soul to remove that veil. You have to tear it out. It's travail that does that. That's my little children whom I travail again in Christ, in birth in Christ, until Christ be formed in you. Now that's Galatians 4:19. Let's just take that scripture. I didn't quote it correctly. My little children, Galatians 4:19. Yes, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed. So travail makes Christ formed in you. Tongues makes Christ operational. You begin to walk in love. You begin to, that minute by minute instruction begins to become a reality. Amen. So God begins to show you deep things, begins to talk to you, and you begin to act on it, and you begin to, you know, get that. You know, so travail, prayer. These are the things Jesus was doing. And then the next one, if thou seekest. Now this one is key. Seekest, what's your motive? That's it. What's your motive? We must be motivated primarily by the desire to know God. Not the desire to be blessed by God. The desire to know Him. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge follow a sincere motive. If now that this motive is where a lot of people, because you know, when we get born again, God just brings us into the kingdom. There's no prerequisite. Just say the prayer and you're in. Amen. Amen. You're in. As soon as you say the prayer, you're in. There is no, but you know, we have different motives. Come, or you know, God just bless me. And it's not wrong. Come. I want spiritual power. I want to overcome these enemies. I want to overcome these habits. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there is a key core motive. Desire to know God. This is eternal life. That we may know Him. And Jesus Christ whom He has sent. That's why God sent us. That's why God sent Jesus. So that we can know Him. So really, it's about knowing God. Alright, and being able to walk with God. And that's where you see those three factors. I'll go over them again. submission, full submission to apostolic and prophetic teaching. Prayer with travail and with tongues. And then motivated primarily by a desire to know God. This is what God desires. This is what God delights that we do. And you know, this is how we are led by the Spirit. If we look at Romans 8:14. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of." Now, you know, initially, it's the watchmen that lead us. Amen. Amen. It is those in authority over you that lead you initially. Instruction. But your faithfulness and obedience to them will graduate you to the school of the Holy Spirit progressively. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 39. Chapter 26, verse 5. And see what happened in Abraham's life. All right, because that Abraham obeyed my... I can't hear it. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Voice is at the deep end. It started with law. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Statutes, confessions, commandment of love, charge, specific instructions, and then voice. So by the time the Holy Spirit is, you get to that point of love, is the Holy Spirit and His voice. When God told Moses to speak to the rock, it was voice. But if you look at it, Moses had been faithful in commandment. He had been faithful in statutes. How many times do you read in the Deuteronomy, read in Exodus, and Moses did as Lord commanded. And Moses did as Lord commanded. Moses did that only that voice. That voice. So it's important to understand that God is taking us from a place where we are submitted to authority, and gradually we begin to hear His own voice. Amen. And we still stay submitted to authority, and progressively we begin to get deeper and deeper into the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right, and that takes us into the fullness of love. Now, why is it so easy for the crowd to go the other way? The Bible says in 1 John verse 19, chapter 5, verse 19, you know, it says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. There are wicked spiritual forces in the air. And when I say wicked, I don't mean their main aim is not to cause accident on the road or armed robbery. That's not the main aim. The main aim is to make you and I disobedient. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Very important. You know, the Bible says the whole world. So in this whole world, even though you can't see anything, there are wicked spiritual forces. To reject that is to be foolish. It's to be simple. We were talking in fellowship yesterday about how somebody will come and say, "I like you, I like you." And truly, truly, the person likes you. And truly, truly, the person has the best interest at that time. But the whole world lies in wickedness. So 2 weeks from now, what would the devil tell him? Will he have the power to say no? So really, it's important to understand that you cannot know people after the flesh. You have to know people after the Spirit. And you and I have to make sure that we operate spiritual principles. Otherwise, we are by default under the world that lies in wickedness. Look at it. Wherein in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Next verse. Among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. It's by nature. That's why God gave us a new nature. and then backed it up with the word, backed it up with the spirit, and he asked us to have a motive to know him so that he can insulate us. So even though the whole world lies in wickedness, you will lie under a cocoon of godliness. Amen. Amen. You create an island of godliness. And guess what? We are taking the nations back. Amen. We are starting with Nigeria. Amen. Amen. From taking the heavens over your life, you take the heavens over your home. Amen. Then you take the heavens over the city, Ibadan. And then take the heavens over this nation. And that's what we're doing now. We will take Nigeria, lock, stock, and barrel.
Amen.
The whole heavens. What we'll obtain in Nigeria will be different from what's obtained outside.
Amen.
Because there'll be an open heavens. And then when we are finished with Nigeria, then we go to the nations. Until the whole nations, there'll be an open heavens.
Amen.
Over the entire world. Amen. Then, triumphant, we'll go up. Not before. So when Pastor Buya is telling us that we have to go, we will go. And guess what? We will go and come back. Because we will, when you are going, you become a standard of life. Bible says when the enemy comes along, he raises up a standard. That standard is not a standard physical stick or something. It's a person. Men become the standard. You and I will be the standard. So when we are in the plane, nothing will happen to the plane. A snake beat Paul. And he said, he must be a wicked man. And the guy shook the snake off his back. 10 minutes later, he must be a god. That's power. But it's love that took him there. Love. By the time Paul had known that they were in trouble and was fasting and praying 2 weeks, when the men knew that the trouble had come and they were in the middle of the storm, that's when they started fasting. By the time Paul had been fasting 2 weeks, Paul said, "Hey boys, it's late. It's over. Forget it. No, God has given up." That's what we say. You become a standard. When someone went to God, said, "Don't let them abide in the ship." They hung on pieces of wood. Everyone got to land.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what God is saying. That's God wants us stop following the crowd. Make sure you do what you need to do. Obey the word. Pray. Well, keep your heart pure. Do these things because that's where it's at. So you can separate yourself and lead the world and not be following the world. You know, sometimes I see that we follow the world. And you know, we try and beat the world at their own game. It's almost comical. You know, they are proud. We want to be prouder. Can you overcome pride with pride? Is it possible? You can't overcome pride with pride. So really, the only thing is to go deeper into God. Chart your own separate course. Follow the Lamb.
Amen.
And if you happen to be in the crowd, how do you know you'll be in the crowd? You can be like Zacchaeus. He couldn't see for the press because he was of small stature. Luke 19, we don't have time to go there. He couldn't see for the, but he was short because it was a place where there was prosperity. No, it's all about prosperity. So spiritually, it wasn't developed. Is that happening to you? You're not where you're supposed to be? I mean, spiritually. Then it's time to do something about it. Don't leave it. Don't follow the advice they gave you in the office about the promotion. That's not what you are supposed to be following. Promotion is not the most important thing. I know that may sound hard, but it's not. God is the most important thing. And when you get God in his place, promotion, according to his will come when it will come. And if it doesn't come, nobody can keep you down. And look at Jacob's story and Laban. Laban tried 10 times, change the salary, do 419. But the 11th time, Jacob got good measure, pressed down, take it together, running over. But God had to work love into Jacob and change. Jacob had to resist the temptation to do his own back. And she said, "Boy, you're so wise, Abby. You think you are smart, Abby. You know, I used to do this, you know. I was very good at it. I did it for Esau. He's still feeding it up today. You know, I know. But he had to leave all those ways. Crooked ways. Hidden things of dishonesty. Put them aside. And be upright. Upright and stay with it, and then see what God will do. God is big, He's big enough. All right, so Zacchaeus, yes, or you may be like the woman on the issue of blood, you're spiritually weak, and you have been tossed to and fro. Today, go and see this one, tomorrow, go and see this one, tomorrow, go and see that one. Whatever it is, you can change it. Leave the crowd. How do you do that? Change your motive. That's the first thing. Start seeking Him, not the things. No matter what it is, don't let healing is important. Don't let healing be everything your Christianity is centered upon. Having a life partner is important, but don't let that be everything. Having a child, don't let that be everything. Let God be everything. And then let's see what God will do. Number two, submit to stepfathers. How do you know stepfathers? A stepfather is not someone who has been in ministry for a long time. It's people who have the fruit of character. The father's name written in their foreheads. Amen. By these you shall know them. By their what? By their fruits. It's not father. He has this how many branches. He has been ministry for 25 years. That's not the point. The point is, what is the fruit of the character of God? What is the fruit of the depth of the revelation that he has from the word of God? That's the sign of who to follow. Amen. And then learn of the Lamb from those people, the set fathers. Learn of him. Learn how to pray. Learn how to read your Bible. Learn how to keep your mind. Pastor was teaching us, keep your mind stayed on godly thoughts, asking the Holy Spirit for mercy, and keeping the thoughts of God in your mind. So when Satan comes, your mind is occupied. You have no, there's no room to doubt. There's none, because everywhere has been shocked full of the word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Talk to God. Following the Lamb, not the crowd. The crowd is being teleguided by negative spiritual forces. And if you follow them, even though hand joining hand, you will not be unpunished. You will not escape. Cut off from the crowd doesn't mean attending a particular church is in your heart. Make God your priority. Knowing Him. Submit to the word that you hear. Don't just hear for hearing's sake. Take heed. Incline your ear to the saints. Let them not depart from your heart, from your mouth. Keep them in the midst of your heart, so it will give you life. That life will help you to obey God. The crowd is disobedient. They are wicked. The key today is obedience. Show me your faith by the works of obedience. How much do you obey? Pastor Gregor was saying this morning, fighting and running away. It's wisdom from beneath. Sometimes, many times. Sometimes, when there's a controversy, God demands that we take sides. And let's be like the sons of Zadok. When the children of Israel went a-whoring after their idols and left God in Ezekiel 44, sons of Zadok stayed faithful. And God said, let them come near unto me. Cleave. Cleave. Repent. Change your motive. Dedicate yourself to be more submissive, and that will be shown by your obedience to the things that you hear. And learn. Be open to learn so God can change your mindset and my mindset. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from above. Heavenly Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, teaching me that it is your will, it is my destiny to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and to have the Father's name cast. character of love written in my forehead. Heavenly Father, I agree with your word, and I desire that my love for you will grow, and I will learn of you through a heart of meekness and lowliness. So Heavenly Father, once again, I consecrate myself to you. I determine to seek you for who you are, to know you, to love you, and to cleave to you with all my heart, so that I will desire you more than anything else. And through you, I will relate with everyone and everything. Help me, Father, to be submissive, fully submissive to the whole counsel of God, to the apostolic and prophetic word that you send unto me, the latter rain, that this rain will purify me and will cleanse me by the washing of water by the word. Help me, Father, that I also will be able to pray, and I will grow in depth in the place of intercession, learning to travail and living a lifestyle of travail, watching and praying with thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, because as I do this, I will grow and I will be strong in the spirit, and I will be filled with divine wisdom, and life will rest in my soul and in my body, and that life will cause me to become who you want me to be. Thank you, Father, because you have begun this good work. You are well able to perfect it and to establish it, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. A strong hand is somebody to shut down close. Father, we come under the covering of our fathers. Say the Lord bless and keep you all. May the Lord bless and keep us all. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. May the Lord our God give us peace. God will make you head and not tail, above only and not beneath, so you prosper in all you set your hands to do, and at least 10 times better than your peers, by an ever increasing enlightenment of your minds, in the name of Jesus. So we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. And the Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, in Jesus' name. So under the covering of our fathers, the Lord puts upon us the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen.
Share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, you follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. In Jesus' name. God bless you.